When the whole world is running towards a cliff, he who is running in the opposite direction appears to have lost his mind. C.S. Lewis.
You're listening to the Think Twice TV podcast.
And this was night and day different than anything I had ever experienced.
I was humbled and even embarrassed. I really felt God knocking on the door.
You know, I was an atheist, and I thought that science was the right way, and anything else was just silly. It was just, you know, like fairy tale, really, is what I thought.
God had a plan for my life. And I believe when we lose our life is when we find the life that God wants us to have.
Hola, shalom, and jambo. I am your hardworking host, Dan Henderson, and we are back, reloaded with 12 more episodes of the Think Twice TV podcast. This is actually episode 49. So if you're new here, go back and check out our previous episodes. The show centers around true life stories, aka testimonies, and other content to help you grow your faith, like the Heavyweights of Faith, brief biographies of great believers who changed the world, sermon snippets in a bottle of Bill's wisdom, hashtag gospel, and a whole lot more. Find us on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, or at our website, thinktwicetv.com/podcast. This episode is entitled Healthy Skepticism, and we hear Jessica's story, whose voice is on the podcast intro, proclaiming that she was an atheist and that she thought faith was just nothing more than a fairy tale. Later on in the episode, we will learn about the world-famous atheist-turned-faith-filled apologetic scholar, C.S. Lewis. Now, I know you're busy people out there, so let's get right into it.
Pretty much my whole life, I grew up calling myself an atheist. I did not believe in God. I did not believe that there was a God. I believed in, you know, science, the theory of evolution, all that stuff that they teach you in science class. I would say probably sometime in middle school is when I decided that I wanted to just go with, you know, the theory of evolution, because I had, you know, these adults, my teachers, teaching me as a child, you know, that this is scientific fact. They had the textbooks and everything to back it up. So I thought it was legit. So I went with it, you know. It wasn't until I was 24 years old that I met my now husband, and he had been saved 2 years prior, 2 or 3 years prior to us meeting. So he was a Christian at the time, and I knew that, even though I was an atheist when we met, but I didn't really think it was a big deal. You know, I'm like, okay, he's a Christian, that's fine, as long as we don't talk about it, like, it's not gonna bother me, we can still date. And he did end up talking to me about it a lot, quite a bit, you know, because he was just so on fire for the Lord at the time that he just wanted to share everything with me that he had learned over the years. Because after he became saved, he was just, like I said, so on fire for God. He was diving into his word, studying constantly. And so when he met me, it was a bit of a challenge, you know, talking to an atheist, but I think God prepared him for that, because he knew a lot, and he knew how to talk to me about it in a way that was, I mean, of course, at times I did get offended, because, you know, sometimes the truth offends people, and people don't want to hear, you know, the gospel when they're non-believers. They just don't want to. And that was the story for me. You know, I was an atheist, and I thought that science was the right way, and anything else was just silly. It was just, you know, like fairy tale, really, is what I thought. And it took a few weeks, you know, a few months, for him to, you know, just pretty much daily talk to me about the Bible. And I liked him so much at the time that I just let him do it. You know, it was kind of annoying to me, but I let him do it. And I think that God helped me do that, because otherwise I wouldn't have wanted to listen on my own. I would have just said, you know, no, I can't do this. But God was definitely working through him to get to me. So over a short period of time, you know, a couple months, a month or so, he was consistent in talking to me about the Bible, and he was actually praying for me as well every day. Every day he was praying for me. And the Lord was softening my heart, you know, during this time. And one day I was driving home from work. And there was traffic, you know, so it was taking me a while. And there was just all these things going through my mind, and I didn't know why I was thinking about them. I was thinking about, you know, wait a minute, is there really a God? And then I'm like, you know what, if there is, like, all these things that I've done in my life, all these things that I've done in my past were wrong and they're horrible, you know, all these things that I had done that I didn't really think they were bad, you know, I didn't think anything of it as I was doing them. Suddenly I felt so convicted deep down, and it was kind of out of nowhere. I didn't know what was going on. And then, you know, just thinking about these things on my drive home, I just stopped and I just broke down. I broke down in my car. I was crying. And I was calling out to God. I said, you know, God, if you're there, I want to know the truth. I want you to soften my heart because I want to know the truth. I want to know if you're really there. I want to know you. And I just started asking for forgiveness of, you know, all my past sins, which I had never recognized as sin because I didn't, you know, I didn't believe in sin. I didn't believe in God. I didn't believe in angels and all this. I thought it was just fairy tale. Until that day, it was driving home from work one day in April. And that was the day that the Lord granted me salvation. I didn't know what was happening at the time, but that's, you know, he gave that to me as a gift. So after that, I kind of calmed down a little bit, and I had called my husband, who was then my boyfriend at the time. I had called him and I told him what happened, and he was just really, he was happy for me. And I was like, you know, that's weird. Why are you kind of like excited about this? You know, I just like broke down in my car. I'm like crying right now. And, you know, I didn't understand it at the time, but he was happy for me because I became saved that day. God had pulled me out of the world, and he had pulled me out of the darkness, and he let me see the light. He let me see reality for what it actually is. And so that was about 2 years ago that happened. And over that period of time, I mean, so much has happened. Maybe a month after I got saved, I was baptized. And then a couple months after that, my husband actually proposed to me, and we ended up getting married. And it was such a beautiful wedding. It was gorgeous. It was Christ-centered. It was perfect. And it was probably one of the best days of my life, aside from, you know, the day that I became saved. And like I said, he's just blessed me with such an amazing family. My husband is incredible. He's, you know, he's such a great leader for our family. He's, you know, he's learned a lot too in all of this. And I believe that the Lord is sanctifying us together in our marriage. And yeah, so that's kind of my story. I just wanted to share that with you guys. It was on my heart. So thank you for taking the time, to just listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Heavyweights of the Faith, brief biographies of great believers who changed the world.
C.S. Lewis was born in Belfast, Ireland on November 29, 1898, to a Christian family. At age 4, his family dog Jaxie was killed by a car, and afterwards, C.S. Lewis declared his name was Jaxie and refused to answer to anything else. Thus, C.S. Lewis was known as Jack to his family and friends for the rest of his life. At 10 years old, his mother died of cancer, and he was sent to boarding school. By age 15, he declared himself an atheist as a result of the pain and grief he experienced after his mother's death. In 1916, Lewis was accepted into Oxford University, but was soon shipped off to World War I at age 19. The horrors of trench warfare he witnessed in Somme, France, only served to confirm his atheism. During training, he and a fellow cadet, Paddy Moore, promised to care for each other's family if either one died in war. C.S. Lewis was injured in April of 1918, 5 months after arriving in France. However, Paddy Moore was killed in action in 1918, and Lewis kept his promise. Paddy's mother, Jane Moore, was like a second mother to him, especially as he recovered from his injury. Lewis was then demobilized in December of 1918 and returned to school at Oxford while continuing to live and care for Paddy's mother and sister. Lewis later went to work as a faculty member first at Oxford University from 1925 to 1954 and then at Cambridge University from 1954 to 1963. In 1926 at Oxford, Lewis met J.R.R. Tolkien and the two became friends. Tolkien's influence, as well as the book The Everlasting Man by G.K. Chesterton and the works of George MacDonald, inspired Lewis's return to theism in 1929. Finally, in 1931, because of Tolkien's mutual friend Hugo Dyson, Lewis returned to Christianity. He described himself at that time of his conversion as the most dejected and reluctant convert in England. Lewis is sometimes referred to as the apostle to the skeptics, due to his own history as a skeptic. During World War II, his radio broadcast on the subject of Christianity brought C.S. Lewis wide acclaim. During this time, he also housed children evacuees in his home, which inspired him to write The Chronicles of Narnia. Later in life, he corresponded with American writer and divorcee Joy Davidman, who was a Jewish convert to Christianity. She came to England with her two sons from a previous marriage and married Lewis in a civil ceremony in 1956. They later held a religious ceremony at her bedside during a bout with bone cancer in 1957. Unfortunately, in 1960, the cancer returned and she died. After her death, Lewis wrote a book about the grief and the aftermath of her death. The book was titled A Grief Observed, but chose to publish it under a pseudonym, N.W. Clerk, due to the raw and personal nature of the book. Ironically, many of his friends even suggested that book to him to help him cope with his own grief. Joy's sons continued to live with Lewis after her death. However, Lewis died of renal failure 2 years later on November 22, 1963, just 1 week before his 65th birthday. C.S. Lewis stands as an example of the influence a Christian can have when they use their gifts for the glory of God. C.S. Lewis is often referred to as the greatest Christian apologist of the 20th century. He was a British academic, novelist, poet, broadcaster, lecturer, and apologist. C.S. Lewis is best known for his fiction works, such as The Screwtape Letters, The Chronicles of Narnia, and The Space Trilogy, as well as his nonfiction works, including Mere Christianity, Miracles, and The Problems of Pain. C.S. Lewis wrote over 70 books, and over 30 of them have been translated into more than 30 languages and have sold millions of copies. C.S. Lewis is remembered for his contribution to Christian apologetics, for being able to connect art, scholarship, and faith. His writing explains Christianity by connecting it to everyday experience that all readers can relate to and understand. Many complicated theological ideas are presented in simple, direct ways in both his fiction and nonfiction works, and have a profound effect in helping his readers grasp these important truths in a new way.
Thank you to Compelling Truth for the use of their written biographies. Please visit CompellingTruth.org for more information.
To be honest, I never really was a skeptic. I knew there was a God, and Jesus was much more than just a man, but I lived my life as if none of it mattered. After nearly losing my life, I started soul searching, and what I found changed me forever. I recently directed and produced a full-length documentary film called Changed, where I share some of my own story, but also three of my friends' amazing true life stories. You can see that at thinktwicetv.com/change. Also, for that true skeptic out there, check out my curated page just for you at thinktwicetv.com/notebook. Hey, thank you so much for listening. As always, I want to leave you with a Bible verse. This is from Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart.